and the Lord told me that I couldn't speak on what I was planning on speaking on. In fact, He told me that I need to tear up the words that I had planned on speaking to y'all and to just lean into the righteousness of His Word. Planned all week to speak on what I wanted to speak on, and God told me that I couldn't speak on it today because there would be things that arose that I didn't know about. There would be things coming up that we need to be prepared for. And so, here we are, talking about the greatest soldier that ever walked the face of the earth. Today we're going to be talking about Jesus Christ and His righteousness and His love. We're going to talk how, like all good soldiers, they're called to a call, a station of duty. And how Jesus was called to a station of duty to the roughest battlefield ever known, the world, a place that hated Him, a place that despised His love, a place that He created, and a place that turned its back on Him, nailed Him to a cross, thinking that they had victory over Him. Oh, but God. Amen? But God. Today we'll remember those who have fought for our freedoms, men and women serving our nation faithfully and valiantly, and we give them thanks. My father died in the military in active duty, and I understand the hurt, and I understand the pain of those who have lost loved ones. Do we have anyone here that served in the military? All right, well, remember those who have. I have some facts that God allowed me to keep. All that's this, right? Some facts that God allowed me to keep for those that we need to remember for our freedoms. Many died for the freedoms in America. Many paid it all, as it were. Starting in the Revolutionary War, thank you, my brother, which was from 1775 to 1783, there were some 25,000 men that gave it all, that died, not counting the wounded and not counting any of the missing in action, just the ones who gave their lives that we numbered. In the Northwest Indian Wars, which happened from 1785 to 1795, there are 1,056 men that gave their all. The War of 1812, which started in 1812 and lasted to 1848, 20,000 men gave their life. The Mexican-American War from 1846 to 1848, 13,283 men gave their lives. Civil War, 1861 to 1865, 625,000 men gave their lives on battlefields stretched across America. The Spanish-American War in 1898, 2,446 men gave their lives. The Philippine-American conflict from 1898 to 1913, 4,196 men gave their life. The Boxer Rebellion from 1900 to 1901, 131 men and women gave their lives. The Mexican Revolution from 1914 to 1919, 35 Americans died in that conflict. World War I stretched from 1917 to 1918, 116,516 men and women gave their lives in that conflict. World War II, 1941 to 1945, 405,399 men gave their lives. The Korean Conflict War, from 1950 to 1953, 36,516 men and women gave their lives. Vietnam, 1955 to 1975, 58,209 men and women gave their lives. The Beirut conflict from 1982 to 1984, 266 men and women gave their lives, not counting Grenada and Panama. The Gulf War, 256 men gave their lives. In Bosnia, 12 American citizens gave their lives. In Afghanistan and Iraq, there have been over 6,854 deaths and counting. during that conflict. As we're looking at the men and women who have given their lives, over a million Americans have shed their blood for your freedoms. None of that compares to one drop of the Savior's blood, who shed His blood for your liberties. If God gave you your liberty, then no man can take it from you. Men, as we looked, a lot of men have died for your freedoms. Gave us the right to step on the American flag. I can't tell you how much that just... that in America, that I can understand another country that doesn't know what our men and women have died and fought for. But we who have this great wealth that God has given us, and those people step on it. That same flag covered my father's coffin, and there are men walking and spitting on that flag today. And that breaks my heart. But even more than that, there's this other flag that has the cross of Jesus Christ. And there are more people around the world hating this flag because it loves them. There's Christians, innumerable amounts of Christians die because of this flag, the cross of Jesus Christ. We are called today not only to remember what our nation and its freedoms, the blood has given us for that, but let's ne'er forget the blood of Jesus Christ that gave us the men and the women who would stand for the righteousness of this country. Oh yeah. We have a lot to say about the soldiers, men and women, in our armed services. And I salute you, my brothers. I thank you that you have fought the fight. But our greatest soldier, Jesus Christ, He came to fight the fight and to give us all. Not for some nation, but for all nations. Not for some human rights, but for all of humanity. He came and He gave His all, not in vain, but He was a sacrifice, and He gave His life to set you free, to set you free from the bondage of sin, to set you free from the wrath of Almighty God. For the child of God, every day is Memorial Day. Every day we need to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let us remember His sacrifice every day. Remember His cost every day. Every day is remembrance of Jesus. It tells us in 1 Timothy, I got to put my hymn book up. 1 Timothy, if you'll open up your Bible there, Timothy 1. Say amen when you get there. We'll be working, starting our main text today will be from 3:15. Let me go to the Lord in prayer as you go to your Bibles. Dear Father, thank You so much for Your goodness and grace. Father, I thank You for Your goodness, Your righteousness. Father, I thank You for this nation. And Lord, as we have sung, God bless America. Father, I pray that You would... Yes, Father, bless America. But not in a blessing as we might think. Lord, whatever it takes to bring us back to the truth of Your Word. Whatever it takes to bring us back to the cross of Jesus Christ. Father, bless our nation in judgment. Father, I pray that You would move mighty in Your body. Lord, that You would be glorified in Your church. Father, help us to speak Your Word with boldness. Father, give us the strength today to stand in Your righteousness. We thank You. We praise You for that. I pray that as I speak today, that people will hear Your Word. Lord, You speak to Your body. We thank You and we praise You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Tells us in 1 Timothy in 15. Yeah, 15, 16. I'll start in verse 14. These things I write to thee, hoping to come to thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. That's not it. Yeah, 3:15. Oh, did I? 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse. Okay, chapter 3, verse 15. And starting in coming back to 3 and 16. And without controversy, great is this mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit and seen of angels. He was preached to the Gentiles, believed on by the world, and received up into glory. God, He came. He was manifested in the flesh. Amen? He came. God made Himself flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. We know that He walked. He did the things that God had told Him to. Jesus, God, several twice in the Word of God, it tells in His baptism that this is My beloved Son. This is Him. This is the one that He's the one that I've justified. He's the one that I've given the power, the dunamis, to do the things that I've told Him to. He's the one who is Me manifested in flesh. He's the one who has come to be tempted in every way like you and yet without sin. He is the one that you must preach Jesus and Him crucified. He's justified in the Spirit. He was preached and is being preached by the people, by the pastors, and by His body. He is seen by the angels. He was in His very birth, He was seen. The angelic host gave witness to Him. In His temptation in the wilderness, the angelic host came and ministered to Him. And at His resurrection, and when He ascended up into heaven, the men standing in white apparel saying, "Men of Galilee, why do you look up? Go and do the things that He's told you to." These are the things that the angels had seen, and they had beheld the glory. I'm sure they scratched their head in amazement at what Jesus had done. And He must be believed on by the people. Jesus came and He fought to show us how we ought to stand in this fight of righteousness. Oh, church, we have lost our way. We have lost our way. We are afraid of people and not fearing God. We must remember that God manifested flesh. Do you think Jesus wasn't afraid from time to time that there was things surrounding Him? Not that He did not understand, but it made His flesh quiver and shake when He stood before Lucifer and He was tempted. Don't you think that was a testing time for Him? And any testing brings, I hate to say fear because I don't think He was fearful because He knew who He was, but it challenged His flesh. We would be afraid, and we ought to be afraid. But Jesus was God manifested in flesh. He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 3 through 6. Turn to that with me, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Yeah, I'll start in 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Now, we need to stop and think about that. We're walking in this world, we're walking in flesh. Amen? People are coming against us because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? There are things that are happening in America because we are walking in this world as light shining into darkness. Now, we need to be careful how we war against the battle that we're in. I read on the internet that a lot of so-called Christians are saying, "Johnny, go get your gun because the government's going to come and take your guns from you." I'm telling you, challenging you, church, that is not the route that we need to take. That's not what we're supposed to do. If we live by the sword, we are going to die by the sword. You hear what I'm saying? We are called to be lambs unto slaughter. We're called to be peaceful. Now, we do have great weapons that are handled by the Spirit of God. And these are the weapons that we must imply in this battle of faith. And it tells us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 10 and verse 3, as we get into it. Now, we walk, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Amen. "For the weapons of our warfare, they are not fleshly, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds." Don't you know that we need to start pulling down some strongholds, people? Don't we need to have some power in what the church does today? Where is the church of Jesus Christ? Where is His body? What are we doing? Why does the evil seem to be winning everywhere? I'm telling you, we are not fighting the battle correctly. exactly. We're trying to take up and do what we think is right instead of what the Word of God says is right. We need to hold on not to our Constitution, praise God. I mean, our Constitution is great. We need to hold on to the Bible. We need to hold on to the Word of God. This nation was set up on godly principles, but since then, we have turned away from the Word of God and we're going the way of the world. And so that whole ideal is passing away. And that there, the world is going to seem victorious for a little while. We need to, it's time for us to reload, people. There was a time to arm yourselves. There was a time to stand up and say this far and no further. Now there's a time to fall on our faces and say, God, we need You to work in our time. We need You in the Church of Jesus Christ. We need to make up our mind that it's not by might that we're going to win this war. It's not by power. It's not by force. But it is the will of God as we seek Him in our lives and walk in the righteousness that Jesus Christ has called us to. As we look further into this weapon that we have is for casting down imaginations. Amen. It is the very height and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. How are we going to win this war? We got to look at the enemy. What is high and exalting itself above the knowledge of God? Our Supreme Court, our Washington leaders. They're exalting themselves high above the throne of God. Our mayor says that we can't talk about Jesus Christ when we serve. They're exalting themselves above the Word of God. People, there's something we need to do right now in this town. We must be doing, arming ourselves with the weapons that we have against spiritual warfare. It's not our mayor's fault. She's afraid of the world. She's afraid of darkness because she hasn't experienced the light of God, the power that is in Jesus Christ. We, as the body right here, we need to be prepared for this battle and we need to start casting down some imaginations. She's afraid of her imagination, amen? Obama is afraid of his imagination because he thinks that there's greater things than Jesus Christ. Our Supreme Court is afraid of that. They're afraid of that. There's no need to be afraid of that because we serve a risen Savior. All of those things are going to pass away. Our Constitution of America is going to pass away, and that's okay. This flag someday will not fly anywhere, but this flag right here, the flag of Christianity, will never be trampled on, will never be stopped because it's backed by the blood of God. This is backed by the blood of man. The blood of man was never able to cleanse you from sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Only, can we give God a hand clap? I mean, what has He done for you? What has He done for you? He's calling us to come out of who we are and to become what He has called us to. We are not warring against the world and with worldly powers and fights. We're fighting with what God has given us. And it says, everything exalts himself, that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is step one. What do we need to understand first? We need to bring our minds into captivity. We cannot be afraid of them. We don't fear those who don't fear God. We don't fear those who don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ. As for me and my house, we're serving God. What they're going to do, they're going to do. I can't stop them. I can't help them. What I'm going to do is my house, the house of Jesus Christ, the house right here, this one, Charity Bible, we're going to fear God. We're going to walk with boldness into the face of the battle. I'm going to stand by your side. I will lead you as Christ leads me. We will stand one another in Jesus Christ. We will walk with what He has given us. We need to change our minds, bring our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. What is the church lacking today? Obedience to Jesus Christ. We're more worried about what the government's going to do than what Jesus Christ is going to do. Jesus Christ, He's coming again someday. We'll look at that as God gives us time to get to the end of this. And in verse 6, it says, having in readiness to punish or revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Did you see what he said there? Let's stop this down. How are we going to stop the disobedience? We got to make sure we're obedient. When our obedience is fulfilled, then we'll have power to step forward in the glory and the grace of Jesus Christ. It's when we get right, when the judgment of God starts in the house of God, when the church starts doing what the church is is supposed to do, when we are holy and set apart from the world, when we don't fear what man has to say to us, but we fear what God says. I will not fear any man who's able to take my life. Let him have it. I fear one man, and he is Jesus Christ. At every knee, his name, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to fess. He is the one that I will fear. Why? Because not only can he take my life, but he can cast my soul into hell. And I'm more worried about that than I am about anybody in the world. What's the worst they can do? Send me home early. Put me in jail. The jails are coming, church. Let me tell you, the church of Jesus Christ, the ones who really believe and follow Jesus Christ, you, face it, you're going to jail. When we start standing, and we start standing, church, we stand in the gospel. When we do it and we do it right, they will hate you for it. They will run you out of your town. They'll run you out of your houses. They'll kick you out of your job. But as long as we marshmallow around the truth, they'll feel like they have the right to do it. We need to get our obedience right with Jesus Christ. Do you look at, in verse 7, do you look on the things, on the outward appearance? If man trusts it to himself, he is Christ. Let him of himself think this again. That as he is Christ, even are we Christ. Did you see what he's talking about there? Do you understand what he's calling us to do? That we need to be ready, that we don't look on the outward appearances. I am not worried about what the mayor says or what the state troopers say. I ain't worried about that. We're going to bring people to Jesus Christ. I want to fix the drug problem in this town. And how are we going to do it? We're going to do it with the preaching of the gospel. And with prayer, we're going to stand on the righteousness of God. Was that damn the torpedoes? Full speed ahead. I ain't scared of it. I ain't scared of it. It's time, church, that we need to grow something. We need to get some courage in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be a man. Be a woman. Start doing what God has called you to do. Pray. Pray, people. You need to pray. We need to pray. We need to seek God. How are we going to take down this place? How is it going to come to its knees? Only by the power of Jesus Christ and only through Him. And if we're too lazy to pray, He ain't going to do nothing for you. You need to seek God with the fullness of your heart, with the fullness of your right. You walk in obedience and watch the world tremble at the footsteps of Jesus Christ. We need to get right with people. We need to get right with God. It tells us in Galatians 5 and verse 1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again to the yoke of bondage. Did you hear what he said? You're supposed to stand fast. Stand fast in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stand fast in the Word of God. Don't let them scare you. Don't let them back you down from the gospel. I'm not saying go fight people. I'm saying pray for people. Love them in the midst of their ugliness. Do what Jesus did. Jesus loved them. They nailed nails in His hands. They put a crown of thorns on His head. He never turned away from the truth of God. He never turned away. He never did His own will. He only did what the Father said. And you know what the will of God is, people? We need to trust Him, and that all should come to repentance. All should come to Jesus Christ. All that's the will of God. And we need to, I hate to say man up because there's more women here. We need to people up. We need to body up. We need to get right with Jesus Christ. We, as the body of Christ, got to start doing better in our prayer lives. We need to be seeking God with the fullness of our hearts and our minds. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, thou, therefore, as a good soldier in Christ, amen. Paul, talking to Timothy, says, you need to be a good soldier in Jesus Christ. You need to be a good soldier. Thou, therefore, endure hardness. What does that mean? Endure hardness. What does it mean? It means that it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be soft. It is hardness, and we must endure the ridicule and the hatred of this world to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you prepared to do that? Are you prepared to endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? No man hath warred being entangled with the affairs of this life. Oh, we're going to go to war, people. We're going to go to war. Do you know that? We're going to war, but it ain't going to be bullets that's going to help you. It's not going to be rifles. It's not going to be swords. It is going to be the Word of God that's going to take you from where you are to where you need to be. We need to hold on to the truth of His Word, that we do not get entangled, snared up by the ways of the things that are going on in this world. What the White House does, I do not care. I don't care about Jade Helm? It's the thing that's going on in Texas right now. Jade Helm, 15. It's where the government is practicing, they're bringing in military troops into civilian areas and practicing for martial law. I ain't worried about that. You know why? Because I trust Jesus Christ. You know what? I want to be some of the first ones hauled off to the camps. You know why? Because I'll have the best house. Before anything else gets in there, I'll have a chance to be in there and I'll have a chance to start writing scripture on the wall. I'll have a chance to start preaching to the folks who are coming to those camps with us because we trust Jesus Christ. Those camps are all over America and people, you're going to go to one. Be prepared. Because you can't fight it. You can't fight this government with bullets. They got more bullets than you do. You can't fight them with a sword. They got more swords than you do. You stand up and say, they'll take my gun out of my dead hand. Well, guess what? They'll take your gun out of your dead hand. They will do it. It's going to happen. You need to be prepared for that, church. You need to be prepared for the righteousness that God has called us to. He says, don't look on the outward appearance. If a man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that he is Christ, even as we are Christ. Did you see what he's talking about? He's asking us to make sure who we are in Jesus Christ, to hold on to the righteousness again. We need to remember, go back to verse 5, cast down those imaginations. People think that they're right. They think that they're doing the right thing. You cast that down. You don't worry about their imagination. Obama thinks he's bigger than God. Supreme Court thinks he's bigger than God. Let them think that. Just let them think that. I ain't scared. Do you see me sweating that kind of stuff? The mayor is afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am proud of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I will preach it on every street corner, on every housetop, everywhere we go. We are part of a great army of God. You know that? A great army of God. There's this song that I found this morning. I'm going to have to turn on my computer just for a second. It won't take long. And oh, praise God, it popped up right up. Right up to it. And this is an old song. It was written right after the Civil War. And it's called, We Are Soldiers of Christ. And the text is like this. And the author of it is Thomas Benson Pollock. P-O-L-L-O-C-K. Pollock. He wrote 19 different hymns. And they all kind of sound this way. We are the soldiers of Christ, who is mighty to save. Pray God. Praise God. We are soldiers of who? Christ. He is mighty to save. Amen. All right. We are soldiers of Christ. He is mighty to save. And His banner, the cross, when it is unfurled, we are pledged to be faithful and steadfast and brave against Satan, against the flesh, and against the world. Amen. I tell you what, this is Bible he's singing right here. We need to be proud of who we are and not fear Satan. Don't fear the flesh. Don't fear the world, but you hold on to Jesus Christ. Verse 2, we are brothers and comrades. We stand side by side. And our faith and our hope, they are the same. And we think of the cross on which Jesus has died, and we bear the reproach of His name. Are you prepared to do that? As we think, we need to stand side by side. We stand together. We don't war like the world wars. We war the way that Christ warred. We war through prayer and through supplication. We stand together as comrades, side by side. Our faith and our hope, they are united in Jesus Christ. And we need to walk with Him, being willing to bear the reproach of His name. Are you willing to bear the reproach of His name? Are you willing, when they say you can't preach Jesus Christ, are you willing to preach Jesus Christ anyhow? Because they will hate you. Because they'll take away your 501c3. Right? Are you prepared, church? Are you prepared to do the things that you're called to do as Jesus did? Jesus paid taxes. Did you hear that? You know, when the temple tax come up, what did He do? He said, hey, Peter, I don't know why you told him that. I'm God. I don't really need to pay taxes. But just to stop the argument, go fishing. And the first fish that you catch is going to have enough money in it to pay the taxes. Go drown the worm. He went, he got the money, and he paid his taxes. Churches need to pay their taxes. Amen? That way the government can't come in and tell you you can't preach. You pay your taxes. In verse 3, and we will watch ready and armed if the tempter draws near. We're going to watch and we're going to be armed with the gospel of Jesus Christ when the tempter draws near. For he will come, either he will come with a frown or when he comes with a smile. We will heed not to his threats nor to his flatterers. Nor by the storm or by the while. Whether you're in peace or whether you're in storm, I am not going to fear those who do not fear God. I am not going to fear those who disdain the truth of the gospel. I am not afraid of those people. And we will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, it puts it this way. Or when it's song, it stanzas, right? Stanza 4. For the world's love, we live not. Did you hear what he said? For the world's love, we live not. It's hate we defy. I stand against those who hate God. I stand against their hatred, not against the people. They can spit in my face. They can throw me in jail. They can whatever they want to do. I defy that. Because I will love them regardless of what they do. I will love them the way... When Jesus had his beard ripped out, when he had the nails put in his hand, when he had his back beaten and ripped apart, he was hanging on the cross and he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing." Not an angry bone was in his body, nor did he turn from the truth one iota. He held to the righteousness of God. For the world's love, I don't want it. It's hate. I defy it. I stand against it. And we will not be led by the throng. The groups of people, I'm not following the herd. Amen? Any dead fish can go downstream. Right? Downstream's easy to go. I want to be a rock that stands against the tide when it comes against me. I want to stand there with the power of Jesus Christ. I want to stand in the liberties that He has given me. I want to stand in the righteousness that He's laid out before me. Oh God, give us the power to not go with the crowd, but to stand in the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. And in that verse it also tells us, we will be true to ourselves and to our God who is in high. And we will be brightness to the world in which we belong. Do you see what he's telling us as Christians we ought to do? We got to be the brightness to the world in which we belong. We are in this world, and this world hates us, and we must be light shining into the darkness. You know what? When the light turns on, guess what runs? The darkness. The darkness will flee if you stand in the righteousness of God, but you've got to be willing to stand, because if you don't stand, the darkness will overtake you. It doesn't work unless you turn on the light. But when you turn on the light, there is no darkness that can come against you. No darkness that will defeat you. You need to be brave in these last days and stand in the righteousness of God, leaning not on your own understanding, but holding fully to what He has called us to. Again, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again to the yoke of bondage." He's calling us again. He's calling us. He's begging us to do the right thing. In Ephesians chapter 6, y'all know that one, should know it pretty well. Ephesians chapter 6, it's about the armor of God. I got to flip over there to it because I do not want to lead you wrong. Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. This is how you do it, people. This is the whole armor of God. You need to have this being prepared on you daily. Chapter 6, verses 10, and starting there. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." What did He tell you? To be strong in who? The Lord. Are you supposed to be strong in the government? No. Are you supposed to be strong in your own abilities? No. Our strength comes from Jesus Christ. Our strength is in the Lord. It is in His Word and is by His Word. "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Amen. Whose might are we going to stand in? His. It's His might. It's the might of Jesus Christ we must stand. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the craftiness of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." Where's the spiritual wickedness? It's high places. They think they have authority over you because they have a title in front of their name. Mayor this person, chief of police that person, governor this person, president that person, Supreme Court that person. They think that they have power. Oh, how foolish they are. They have no power. They have no power. The most that they can do to you is throw you in jail or kill you. That is the worst that they can do to you. And I tell you, there are Christians all around the world today that are dying for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Church of America is setting back, getting fatter and fatter and fatter, and afraid to stand up against the powers of darkness. We are not putting on the armor of God like we're supposed to. We're not standing against the wiles of the devil that we're supposed to. Church, it's time to arise and take the faith of Jesus Christ with you when you go. He tells us in verse 13, "Wherefore you take unto the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." What day are you supposed to withstand? Evil day. What day are we living in? Evil day. There is wickedness surrounding us, and we must be prepared to stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And having done all, then what? Stand. Stand. Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having..." Stand. How many times have we heard that? Stand. 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 Be standing. Be standing when they come against you. Standing in the gospel, not standing in your own might. Standing in His righteousness, not standing in your own way. You need to be able to stand when they come kicking down your door and turning off your lights. You need to be able to stand trusting God. Oh, people, it's time for us to take this whole gospel of Jesus Christ and know what we're supposed to do with it. Verse 14, "Stand therefore..." Now, this is what it looks like. "Having your loins, your bottom part, girt about with truth." What do you need? Where do you need truth? In your guts. You've got to have... In your loins, in the very essence of your body, you've got to have truth. Who is truth? Jesus Christ. You've got to have Jesus Christ in your loins, in the very heart of who you are. And you hold on to that truth, the truth of God. You have Him put on like a garment. You have Jesus Christ in you. And then He's girt about you with truth. And having the breastplate of righteousness. And that is just an upper armor body, you know. They can't get to my heart. You know why they can't get? They can throw no stone at me because I stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not in the righteousness of Curtis Fitz. If I was standing in the righteousness of Curtis Fitz, I could be knocked over with a feather. Right? But if I stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, I will fear no evil. Because the wicked has no power over me. Has no power over you. If you stand, stand ye therefore, having your loins girt, having a breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace. When they come against you with war, what do you answer them with? Peace. They come against you, they lock you up. What do? You go. You go. You go. I mean, don't stand on your front porch and say, "I'm going to fight to the death." Because you'll die on your front porch. There is a gospel that needs to be preached where they're going. When they came against China and told the Christians in China that you can't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they locked them up by the trainloads and drove them off to the gulags in Russia and beat them and tortured them and drowned them and slaughtered them, they preached the gospel in the midst of that bloodbath. They were not afraid. We got Pastor Saeed locked up today in prison, and he is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're coming for you, church. The world is coming after you, and you need to be prepared. Having your feet shod with the preparation of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith. See, we can't even do this if we don't believe in what we believe in. Church, do you really believe what you say you believe? If you believe what you said you believe, your actions might be different than what they are. Church, we got to wake up. We need to be prepared to do the things that the gospel has told us to walk with the preparation of peace, to love people, to understand the wickedness that is around us. Take the shield of faith wherein you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, even though they lock you up, how are you going to not be hurt by that? By my shield of faith. Satan takes these firing arrows and they're full of vengeance and nastiness and viper's ass and all the poison of the world. I stand behind the shield of faith and it quenches those darts. Doesn't say that it doesn't hurt. It hurts. But praise God. Greater is He that is in me than he who is in the world. And I will not fear. I will have the breastplate of righteousness. I'll be prepared with the gospel of peace on my feet. And above all, I'm going to take that shield of faith. And I will be able to quench. When the fiery darts come at you, don't fight. Don't stand out there and say, "I'm going to catch it and throw it back at you." No, you stand behind that shield and you say, "God is my protector. He is my great reward. He is my shield. He's my righteousness." And we need to hold on to the truth that He has. And of course, take on the helmet of salvation. Do you know how important that helmet of salvation is? I know that when I die, I will be with Christ someday. When I breathe my last, my helmet, my security is in Jesus Christ. I fear not what the world can do to me. I fear God. I honor God with the fullness of my heart. I will have that salvation helmet on my head when I tell kids, "Hey, you want an ice cream?" You know, you got to memorize the scripture. And when they throw me out of the park or lock me up from the park for preaching the gospel, then so be it. I will shake the dust off of my feet and I will pray for those people. You know, I'll lift them up before the Lord and let God do a work in their heart that I cannot do. I have a salvation, a helmet of salvation, and I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit with me, people, because I can't do this on my own. I must have the Word of God, not just in my hand, but in my heart. I must be prepared to proclaim the good news everywhere I go, regardless of the power of the darkness that seems to be winning at the moment. I have a greater God than they have, and I will pray always with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto, thereunto with all perseverance. That means pushing through with supplications for all the saints. We need to pray for the body of Christ, because when the war comes, when you get caught up in the battle, you need prayer, because that's the only thing that will be victorious over the fight that we need to go into. You can't outshoot them. You can't outrun them. You've got to stand your ground. Stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ and pray one for another. We got to, in church, we got to start praying like we pray, like you believe it. Pray with faith. You pray that God hears your prayer and you stand in the righteousness that He's called you to. Church, it is time for us to arise and come to our feet at the very presence of the living Lord. Do you know that God has a time for all this kind of stuff? Thank you, Lord. I didn't even plan on this. Hold on with me. It's going to take me a little while. It'll be in the Revelation. Oh, praise God. To open right to it. Isn't that beautiful? I love you, God. Thank you. And you know why I'm not afraid? Because this ain't the end of the fight. There's coming the rest of the story. There's coming the rest of the story. And I am in Jesus Christ. I'm prepared for this battle. I want you to be prepared for the battle. Here's what the end looks like. This is the last one we got to worry about right here. And I'll close out, the Lord willing, here in just a moment. And I saw heaven open up. Are you prepared for that? I want to see heaven open up. I want to see the power of God coming down. And I saw heaven open up and a white horse. And He who sat upon Him, He's called faithful. He's called true. In righteousness doeth He judge and He makes war. His eyes are a flaming fire, and His and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name that was written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name that is called, He is called the Word of God. Do you know who He is yet? He's Jesus. He's Jesus. He's the one who's going to protect us. Now, this is in the end times. This is a time still yet to come. But I tell you, you got a place in that fight. Now, we're going to look. His vesture is dipped in blood. His blood. Now, catch this out over the next verse or two. His vesture, His clothing is drenched in blood. All right? And the armies which are in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You notice that? Who did the warring? Who did the battling? Who tread the winepress of His wrath alone? Jesus did. So why do I got to fear any human being? I got a victory. I got a victory in Jesus Christ. I got power. I got dunamis because of Him. I have a way to raise up from the depths of the pits of despair that we're surrounded by because of the truth of His Word. Here's how He's going to do it. Out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it He shall smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he that treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of His wrath of the Almighty God. Who? Almighty God. That means the president ain't almighty. Amen? He ain't the end of the story. I don't see His name up here anywhere. I don't see the mayor's name up anywhere. I don't see governor, who's our governor now? Cuomo? I don't see his name up in here anywhere. I don't see him standing with the righteousness of God. I don't see, he's going to be fearing, he's going to be quaking in his shoes when that day comes. And on his vesture and on his thigh is a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice to all the fowls in the midst of heaven, and they came to gather together for the great for the supper of the great God. And they may eat flesh, the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and and of them that sat upon them, the flesh of men, both free and bond, small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies. They were gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken. Praise God. The Satan, the beast is taken. He has no power. So I see why God made me change my story this morning. Because we're going to go into a battle, people, and we need to know the end of the story. You need to know that there is coming a time that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ, amen, Jesus Christ, He is Lord of Lords, He's King of Kings, He is the answer, He's the Redeemer. He said, remember me. I think the problem in the Church of America right now is we don't remember Him. We take communion, we're going to take communion here in just a few minutes. But we need to remember who He was, who He is, and who He is yet to become. Yeah, He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end, and all parts in between. That means in this time, in this dispensation that we're living in, who is King? Jesus Christ is King. He said, do this in remembrance of me. As we take communion, Cliff, do you mind? I got mine up here. As we take communion today and we remember Jesus Christ, we remember those who paid their all for our freedoms, we must remember Jesus Christ who paid it all. He paid it all for us. He gave us His righteousness. He gave us His love. He gave us His commandments. He made us stand upright before man. And He's called us today to be His people, set apart for His glory and His goodness. Today is the day that we'll come together. Today is the day we're going to have this is our first of communions today. We'll have another one at the house, not the bread and the wine, but we'll have hot dogs and grape juice. We'll have fellowship, you know, at the house this evening service. I want you to be prepared, people. And I really and truly believe that the time is so near right now. We are so close to the government trying to shut us down. We need to be prepared to go, like it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, into the cliffs of the rocks. We need to be prepared to dress in sheep's clothing. We need to be prepared to be cold and hunger and thirst for His righteousness. We need to be prepared for that. You know what it tells us at the end of that? That they were not worthy. We are not worthy to be held to the honor that they're held to. Because they trusted the Lord Jesus Christ with the fullness of their heart. Jesus said just before His passion, just before He gave His all for you, He is in the upper room with His disciples and He knew what was going to happen. The man who was going to deceive Him had already gone out and was already on the way. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night which He had been betrayed, He took bread." And on the top of your communion cup, you have a little piece of bread right there. And we're going to take that together. This bread is we're supposed to do this until His return. We do this until He comes back. And He took the bread and He gave thanks. And let's give thanks together. Dear Father, I thank You for Your body. I thank You, Lord God, for the call that You've called us to. I thank You, Father, for You being broken for my sin. I thank You, Lord God, that You've brought us to this time of remembrance. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that You loved us and You came to save and to save us, to seek and save that which was lost. Father, we remember You. Jesus said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for You. Do this in remembrance of me." And we'll take the bread together. Thank You, Lord Father. We love You. We trust You, Lord God, for Your goodness and righteousness. After that, in the same manner, He took the cup and He lifted it. And He said, "This is the New Testament in My blood, the New Covenant. And as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And so the Lord also prayed, and so we'll pray before we take the juice. Lord Father, I thank You so much for the blood of Your Son that cleanses all from all unrighteousness. I pray, Lord Jesus, as we come before You and seeking You with the fullness of our heart, that You will encourage us to do the things that You have called us to. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord Father. We thank You for it. I thank You, Lord God, again for Your blood as we remember Your blood as we drink this juice. In Jesus' name, amen. There's coming a day, people, there's coming a day when we won't have to do this communion, you know, because we're only supposed to do it until He returns. We'll do this until He returns. We're going to hold on to the righteousness of Jesus Christ until He returns. When our faith shall be made sight, glory to God, that there's coming a day that our faith will become sight. And I am so excited for that time. That there is a time where we will be there when every knee bows and every tongue confesses, those in the earth and under the earth, they're going to come before Jesus Christ and they're going to give an answer. I want you to give an answer right now. Right now today. Whom are you going to serve? You've already made up your mind. All right? You've already made up your mind. I'm not going to have an altar call. I want you to have a holy altar call. You go before God right now. Who are you going to serve? I know as for me and my house, that's all I can stand for. Me and my house. We're serving the Lord. We are serving the Lord. We're going to trust God. We're going to do what God has called us to, regardless of what the authorities tell us we can't do. Okay? Those kids need salvation. Those kids need the Word of God more than they need pizza. I answer that after service. And, I answer it right now. I'll tell you why. Why did they have the Good News Club at school and they won't allow a Bible preaching church to preach the gospel in a playground? Because the Good News Club, now don't get me wrong, when it's done right, it brings kids to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But when it's played as a game, it's just merely a game. And that's all it was. Mm-hmm. Amen. All the ribbons in the world, all I want to know is the one ribbon that I'll get from Jesus Christ. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. You know, memorizing Scripture. I can memorize, Satan knows more Scripture than I'll ever know. Memorize the whole book from the beginning to the end. Memorizing Scripture doesn't get you saved. Well, either way, it's... What's the difference? Is they're afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're afraid of the true Word. Somebody who is filled with the Holy Spirit. And nope, because we are filled with the Holy Spirit and the others are not. Okay? And I hate to put it that way, but we're fighting a spiritual warfare. And if you're on Satan's side, he has nothing to fear from you. Okay? But if you stand for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the authorities quake. They know that there's a difference between a club and a righteousness. We're not part of the club. All right? We're in His righteousness. I hope that answered your question. Dear, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and for Your righteousness. I pray, Father, that even now that You would give us the strength to stand in the days of trial, that You would allow us to be filled with Your Spirit and honestly, truthfully holding on to Your righteousness. Lord, don't let any man stop Your truth. Lord, let every man be a liar, but You be King of kings and Lord of lords. You are truth, Lord Jesus. You are the way. You are the righteousness. And Father, we thank You and we praise You for that. I pray for this body, Lord, as we go out into the battlefield of this world proclaiming Your good news. Lord, guide us, protect us. Keep Your word as a light unto our path. Lead us into the paths of righteousness. Lead us into the gate of salvation. Father, I thank You and I praise You for that in and through the power of our Lord Jesus. Amen.